Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together. Got joy in my soul. God is in control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray.
Once again, tuned in to, are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show? I am your host, Brother James Brown, Jr., coming to you live from Hopper Woods, Michigan. We come to you live each and every Thursday and every Saturday night from 8 o'clock until 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Well, on tonight, we're giving God glory, honor, and praise for who he is. We thank God that he has allowed us to come back over the airways. We have been out for a couple of weeks due to circumstances where I had to turn around and purchase a new laptop so we can do things right, differently, and in order. And I want to give a shout-out to my first cousin, Pastor Norman King, who has been a blessing to me and to this worldwide platform by helping purchase this new laptop for us to be able to continue the work of the Lord through the sharing of the good news of Jesus Christ through his word. We always open up with prayer, but before we do that on tonight, for those of you that may be new listeners on tonight, we always ask that you get your Bibles, get your pens and paper ready so that you can follow along as we go through God's word together on tonight. My guest is none other than Deacon Marvin Cox. Will be sharing with us another inspirational poem first, then it's going to go directly into God's word. So you're most definitely going to need your Bibles, your pens and paper to take notes and follow along. But we always open up with prayer, and we're going to do the same thing on tonight. I'm asking all listeners, those of you that are believers in God, that know that the fervent prayers of the righteous avail as much, to touch and agree and pray with me as we go to God's throne together on tonight. Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus we come once again, touching and agreeing that you are God alone and you are truly worthy of all praise. We thank you that there is none like you in all the earth. We thank you that you have and hold all power in heaven and in earth is in your hands. and you're not like man, you don't slumber nor sleep. You cannot fail to change nor lie. For this we are so grateful. Heavenly Father, we come now asking in the name of Jesus that you will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, starting with myself, my entire family, Deacon Marvin Cox and his entire family, and every saved believer. Heavenly Father, forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, because your word lets us know that all have sinned and come short of your glory. So we just come and say thank you for your son, Jesus the Christ, our risen Lord and Savior and soon coming King, for his finished work on the cross, that we can be drawn back to you, that we can be have another relationship with you, but that we can be established in your word, Heavenly Father, touching and agreeing again that you are who you say you are. You are God. You are God alone. For this, we are so grateful. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace, even your sufficient grace toward each one of us. We don't deserve it, but we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the blood of Jesus that still works, and we know that it would never lose its power. Heavenly Father, we come now touching and agreeing, asking that you will move by your Spirit. Touch and have mercy upon all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. You know who they are, you know where they are, and you know what they are going through. So we know that you are still working miracles. You're still healing and delivering and setting your people free. So now, Lord, we ask that you would touch, heal, and deliver as only you can in the name of Jesus. Continue to comfort and strengthen all those that are bereaved on tonight. Let them feel your peace, your presence, your love, your joy, even in their hour of bereavement. Let them know, remember that earth still has no sorrow, that heaven cannot heal. In Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we come now in the name of Jesus, asking that you will continue to move by your Spirit on tonight. As you see fit, have your way over this worldwide platform, through your word, through your man of God, Deacon Marvin Cox, on tonight. Continue to bless him. Continue to strengthen him. Continue to use him for your glory. And our Father, in the name of Jesus, we come lifting up all those, Heavenly Father, that may be tuning in for the first time on tonight, even those that are not saved in Jesus' name. It's our prayer, our hope and desire that you would use your word on tonight, that would touch their hearts. And I pray that they would receive your word, that they would hear your word and receive it. And those that are not saved in the name of Jesus, that they would open their own mouth, even on tonight, confess their sins and transgressions, and they would also ask Jesus, your son, to come into their hearts and save them, is our prayer, hope, and desire in Jesus' name. So have your way on tonight. Help us to decrease so that you may increase in each one of us individually and then as a corporate body of believers, that you alone will get the glory. And we also lift up all those that faithfully tunes into this worldwide ministry and platform. Continue to bless them, even those that have tuned in for the first time on tonight. Continue to bless them all and grant them the desires of their hearts is our prayer in Jesus' name, that you will get the glory. So now, Lord, we ask that you would have your way on tonight, that your word will go forth with power, that souls will be saved, backsliders will come back to the fold, and that the body of Christ will be built up and strengthened and edified even on tonight, that you will get the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we do have another spiritual food for thought. Tonight's spiritual food for thought comes to us saying, it's really a form of a question. This applies to each one of us. Is there anyone you need to forgive? Don't stop your blessings because of your unforgiveness. Once again, this tonight's scripture food for thought, in the form of a question, is there anyone you need to forgive? Don't stop your blessings because of your unforgiveness. I want the worldwide listeners to know that I do welcome all comments and feedback from all listeners. You can always email me at all lowercase james_brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. Well, as I said in the prayer, I want to give a shout out before we move any further. I want to give a shout out to my first cousin, Pastor Norman King from Greensboro, North Carolina. He is the pastor of the Victor's Outreach Ministries. He comes forth over this worldwide platform twice a month delivering God's word. I want to thank God for him, for being such a blessing to me and for this worldwide platform, that he has, you know, been a blessing financially, that we was able to purchase a brand new laptop so that we can continue to deliver God's word over this worldwide platform. I just want to give a shout out to Pastor Norman King and that the Lord will continue to bless him as he continues to be a blessing to others. What a mighty God we serve. So right now we're going to get ready to go to our music break on tonight. And for tonight's music break, we're going to go to I Give You Praise, because God is worthy of our praise. No matter what it looks like, no matter what we're going through, God is still worthy to be praised. Aren't you grateful that there is none like him in all the earth? I know I am. So enjoy the music break. I Give You Praise. And following the music break, we're going to come back. We're going to yield the mic to none other than Deacon Marvin Cox. Once again, he's going to share with us another inspirational poem. And he's going to go directly into God's word. So you need your Bibles, your pens and papers to follow along. Enjoy tonight's music break. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. That is a powerful song. I give you praise. God is worthy of our praise. Again, as I said earlier, no matter what it looks like, no matter what we're going through, God is worthy to be praised. What a mighty God we serve. Well, before we bring forth Deacon Marvin Cox, I want to give a shout out to my pastor and shepherd, none other than Bishop James A. Jennings, Jr., the pastor of, and also my church family, Greater Shield of Faith Baptist Church. I want to say hello to Pastor Bishop James A. Jennings, my pastor, and my church family. Know that I love you, and I'm always praying for you all. So right now, we are ready to read the Word of God from Deacon Marvin Cox. And as I said earlier, he's going to share with us another inspirational poem first, and then he's going to go directly to God's Word. Deacon Marvin Cox, I now yield the mic to you.
Amen, amen, and amen again. It's been a while. Sometimes when you're not able to do what it is that the Lord have assigned you to do, doubt begins to creep into your mind. But I thank the Lord that we're back on track.
Amen.
Lord has given, you know, the Lord has given me a word for his people tonight, and I just hope that we can take this word and run with it. Let it be the foundation for everything that we build on in the future. Now, it's awesome responsibility, and it's one that I do not take lightly. So I thank God, and the name of the poem is You Just Never Know. And it's basically self-explanatory. You just never know that at the end of the your day, the death is planning to take your loved ones away. You just never know that when push comes to shove, that the little things in life can tarnish our love. You never know when relationships get out off track, that we keep going in the wrong direction and we refuse to look back. You just don't know how a loved one feels inside, and we may cut each other off because of our pride. We just don't know that in a world that is so tough, that sometimes love is just not enough. We have to be careful what we do and say, and be able to move ourselves out of the way. How we feel about each other, sometimes our actions don't show. But I should have took the time to tell you so. So tell your loved ones, tell your friends, reconcile, make amends. We just don't know what's in the final plan, so make up with your loved ones while you still can. Don't hesitate. Don't be slow. If you truly love someone, you want the whole world to know. Amen. Now, that was a poem about reconciliation, and it's going to coincide with tonight's lesson. And I'll be reading to you from 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verses 17 through 21. And thusly, I'll read from the King James Version. And from there, I'll give you the topic immediately after the reading of God's Word. But therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that is in Christ God, who was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and trusting in us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. For our sake, he made him to sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I just read unto you from the book of King James, 2 Corinthians, 5th chapter, verses 17 through 21. And may the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the doing of his word and his will, and may it edify our souls forever. Amen. Now, tonight's lesson is coming in the form of a warning as well as an invitation. Now, if you ever read or you know about God's word, you know that he implores the watchman. He implores each and every last one of us. He even tells the watchman, he said, "Watchman, what of the night? Did you warn my people of the danger to come?" And see, we could use another word, and that is to admonish, to give a heads up, and so forth and on. But see, there's two things and three things that this lesson is about. It's about reconciliation, it's about procrastination, and it's also touching on the food for thought that Brother Brown brought forth tonight, which is forgiveness. Now, we know that we're living in tough times. We know that a lot of things we have put off, but while we still can, that means that it's an opportunity that exists for you and that exists for me. And lately, I don't know why, but it just seems like Christians have had the most serious of attitudes towards one another and towards the world. And we should be opening up our arms to our brothers and our sisters. We're closing the door on them. But see, I'll go over 2 Corinthians verse by verse. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation." Now, I want to bring the scripture to your mind about putting new wine in old bottles. So you can't make this transition from being the old you to being a new creation without having some type of modifications or some type of adjustments that you have to make. You can't come into Christ and be a representative or an ambassador of Christ by having an attitude at your friend, at your sister, at your brother, at your husband, at your wife. That's not going to work. You got to leave those old, you know, and it's always in the Bible talking about that conversion from old to new and from childhood to manhood and so forth. And you have to give up one thing because you cannot be the same or serve two masters. You have to, you know, cleave to one or give the other one up, or, you know, you have to submit. You can't be submitting to all of these things. So this reconciliation that the Lord is telling me to bring about and to speak about while you still can. They'll say the opportunity is there, because I don't know of anybody, any Christian, any family that doesn't have members in it that we have not talked to them in a fair amount of time. We are estranged from our brothers, our sisters, our sons, our daughters, our mothers, our fathers. Why? Because of the selfishness that exists inside of us, because of the anger and because of the rage that is inside of us, because of the disagreements that we have. But see, God's word tells us that we are reconciled to God because of the sins of the Father, which is Adam and Eve, that estranged us from the Lord, that separated us. And see, a reconciliation is no more than something coming back together that was separated, something that was once a unit that was broken down into many, many pieces. And so in order for us to have that fellowship with God, He made the ultimate sacrifice. In John 3:16, it says, so he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So he reconciled because it was the only one. He was the only one that was pure enough in his heart to reconcile us back, because there are great patriarchs and matriarchs in the Bible that probably wanted to, or if God would have asked them, they would have tried to. But these people, you, me, all of us, we have flaws that people can look at and use that to scapegoat their way out of serving God. Now, how many preachers have been on the high wall, and because they had a fancy suit, because they had a different type of hairstyle, there was a parishioner out there that said, I'm going to stop coming, because that preacher's suit is louder than the sermons that he's preaching. We take the smallest little things and we magnify those things, and we use that as a reason for us not to attend service. We use that to withdraw ourselves from the love of God. But see, it's time for us to reconcile whatever problem that exists in our homes, in our families, in our jobs. Believe me when I tell you, it's no more than a misdemeanor, but we turn around, we make it a felony, or we make it into an international incident. Why? Because we don't have that love in our heart. We're not willing to reconcile. While we can, and I say that opportunity exists. Over the last year, 18 months, we had a lot of time to study. We had a lot of time to get back familiar with God, to come back to our first love. And now that they said that it's subsiding, then you see what happened down there in Texas when they had that concert. You see what happened when they have those super spreader events. You see what happened when a lot of people congregate themselves together. But God's word tells us to still, to quarantine, to go into the closet and hide and stay there until his anger subsides. But see, we've been so isolated and everything. What we want to do, we want to reunite. We want to reconcile ourselves back to the foolishness that we participate in before all of these things start happening. But see, this is not the way for us to do. Now that perfect opportunity to pick up that telephone, to call that brother or that sister that you haven't talked to in a long time, call that son or that daughter. Tell them that you love them. Get it off your chest, because I know on a lot of different occasions, people say, well, I stopped calling you because you stopped calling me. But I had a checkup recently, went to the doctor. He said, Mr. Cox, he said, you got a whole lot of things that's going on with you. He said, but I'll tell you one thing. He said, your hand is all right. So I'm just saying that with all the problems that I have, there's nothing wrong with my darling finger. I could pick a fifth phone, and I could call you, and I could say, forgive me. If I offended you in any kind of way, please forgive me and to reconcile with you. But see, we use that other people withdraw as a reason for us to withdraw ourselves. Now, while you still can, I'm going to give you a few examples, a few biblical examples of why you still can. Now we're going to go over here to Luke, the 15th chapter. I'm not going to read all of it, but I'm going to tell you the story about that prodigal son. Now we know that this young man, he was a whippersnapper. He wanted to get away and break loose away from the authority of his father's house. So he asked his father, he said, I want you to give me the goods my inheritance so that I can go out there and carve my way out. He didn't say I want to go out there and start a business. He didn't say that I want to go out there and do some philanthropy or do some cleaners or do some charitable work. He did not say that. He wanted to go out there. Why? Because own selfish nature, which a lot of us do. And so he went out there, and I'm going to condense the story. He went out there, and he began to live large. He began to do the things that his father had preached against. But then he was not an accountant, so he couldn't keep up with his expenditures. So before he knew it, he went from a wealthy young man to basically a pauper. And then he really started doing the things that his father or that tradition had told him and taught him not to do. And so one day he came to himself, he looked around, he said, I don't have to live like this. It's a warm bed and my father's in his stable. So I don't, you know, I want to go back. But while he still can, and while the blood is running warm in our veins, we might be sick, but see, God's word said about that spirit, we are endued with his spirit. And see, some of us have physical limitations. But see, being myself, I have what is known as muscular dystrophy, a form of it. But at night when I lay down, I don't have no limitations. In my dreams, I'll be running through the fields of ambrosia. I'll be chasing the butterflies. So I'm not limited by that. I can call people. I can encourage people. So I can reconcile myself back to God by spreading his word. He said that, and this is what he has anointed us to do. He says that because I'm that new creation, the old has passed. So see, when you get something new, what you do, you normally toss the old out there to the curb to have nothing to do with it again. He says the new has come. So I'm telling you why the blood is running warm, my brothers and my sisters, why you can. It's time to take a personal inventory, to look about and look over things and make things right. Because each and every last one of us is somebody in our life, somebody that would love to hear from us, somebody who they may have cut us off. And because they cut us off, we didn't see no reason to deal with them. If we say that if they don't want to fool with me, I don't want to fool with them. But see, that's not how God planned it. He says that verse number 18 in the 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, said, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. So I automatically became a vessel to do God's will. He reunited us, and it feels so good. It gave us the ministry. Ain't that something? Each and every last one of us was issued that ministry of reconciliation. Each and every last one of us got that power in our hands. But are you willing to use that power? Are you willing to put your own personal feelings aside and quit feeling like we've been neglected? Why? Because somebody seemed like they don't love us. Because somebody don't want to have nothing to do with us. But I tell you, my brothers and my sisters, now is the time for that reconciliation. I mean, you can't make nobody, and that's for sure. But at least you can say, forgive me, it says in the Lord's Prayer, forgive our trespasses and forgive those who trespass against us. So that's a reciprocal, that's a two-way situation that we should look into in order for us to be the best people that we can be. Because some people know that they done did wrong, and they're looking for a way and an opportunity to get back in your good graces. Because I know that when somebody hurt your feelings or done did something wrong to you, the best way to deal with you, or the best way sometimes we deal with people who feeling we hurt, we try our best to avoid them. They come in the front door, we go out the back door. Why? Because those three words, please forgive me, have not been established in our vocabulary. So God reconciled us back to himself. And as I say, it's an urgent plea going about, because everybody is just like Mikey. Everybody hates everything. And I'm not speaking about the hatred for life. I'm just talking about that we refuse. And see, God, he tells us in his word that unless you hate these things, you cannot be a disciple of mine. But I'm talking about we got to hate, we got to detest the right things. I can hate the crime, but I still love that man. I still love that sinner, because we all do some things in our life that is disagreeable to a lot of people. But while the blood is running warm, while we still can. Now we're going to move right on over to the parable of the 10 virgins. Now we know that if you look at it, say 10 virgins, which means that they were pure in their hearts, but foolish in their thoughts. I'm going to say that again, because they had been untouched. Well, they were pure, but sometimes a person could be pure, but they still adopt foolish ways. And so five of them were wise. Five of them did the things that they needed to do in order to meet the bridegroom. But the other five did not prepare themselves. And when the opportunity comes, see, right now, I hate to say it, but I'm going to say that the rehearsal is over with. It's just like Coca-Cola. This is the real thing that's going on. And you ask yourself, am I prepared to meet the bridegroom at midnight? That's a story about procrastination. As I say, we're going to talk about three things. We're going to talk about reconciliation. We're going to talk about procrastination, and we're going to talk about forgiveness. You see, we have to get ourselves in order. We have to quit putting off those things that will be detrimental to our relationship with the Lord. We have to be able to understand that now is not the time to hold back. Now is not the time to be close-fisted. Now is not the time to withdraw. It's the time to reunite. It's the time to make amends. It's the time to spread love along the land, because see, we basically living in, and I got to be careful how I say this, a loveless world. And I say a loveless world, I mean, I know the Christians said that we got to have love for the brother. That's how we could show that we disciples of the Lord. Well, when I say loveless, it's because people have just stopped caring. You see, when I make a statement like that, I don't want nobody to get offended by me saying that. Because when I say the world, I'm not speaking those that are sanctified or set apart from the world. I'm talking about those that are going about the everyday activities and mistreating people and not caring and really not making any effort to reconcile or ask for forgiveness. Those that is procrastinating, putting off today, because you know what happens when we procrastinate. It's normally a penalty that happens. Now, one of the favorite scriptures that Brother Brown and I constantly talk about, kick it back and forth between each other, and that's John 9:4. He says, and I'm just going to paraphrase, I'm going to do the work of him who sent me.
Yes,
he says, because the night cometh, work while it is yet day, because the night cometh, and no man can work. So while I can, while you can, it's in our best interest to punch that spiritual clock, to come into that vineyard and work, because all of us didn't come. All of us didn't start at 6 o'clock in the morning. All of us didn't come in at 12 o'clock. Some of us came in the 11th hour. But see, it's opportunity for those too, because he said whatever is right, there's a guarantee that we're going to get something. No need in grumbling about what somebody else have. It's time to work on your own soul salvation, to take your focus off of what people are doing, because you could go in any family around the world, and I guarantee you, there's a jealousy, a sibling rivalry there, that somebody's going to say that my mother, my father, whatever, always favoritizes my little brother, my little sister. But then when these things happen, we lose focus on what has been done for us. We overlook the fact of the agreement or the contract that we have. So that reconciliation, while you still can, now, once again, will be a good time to start. Now would be a good time to, as I say, to mend those fences, okay? And one of the main things it says in the church is about bringing your tithes and everything. He said, before you do these things, what you got to do? You got to reconcile with your brother. Then bring your tithes to the altar.
That's right.
You know,
yes,
because,
sir.
See, sometimes we do things begrudgingly, and see, because it is with a pure heart, it's with a humble heart, it's with a contrite spirit, it's with a submissive heart that we get our blessings, because, see, we can't arrogantly go and say and make a demand, but it is through our meekness, because God's word in Matthew said that the meek will inherit the earth. So I have to be mild-mannered when it comes down to these things, because one of the worst things that you can do is tell somebody that they're wrong, or somebody tell you that you're wrong, and you got the biggest argument on your hand. Nobody will submit to that and say, you know what, I'm so sorry. Would you please, once again, would you please forgive me? Don't procrastinate on that. If there's anybody out there that you have offended, or even if they have offended you, tell them that you forgive them. You got a way to get in touch with them. Don't let another minute go by without you going to them and telling them how much you love them or that you miss their company. Now, we're going to move right back to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, 19th verse. It says, that is in Christ, who is reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. Wow, that's a wonderful thing, if you know, because we all have flaws. We all might misspeak. We all might say things out of turn. We all might do something that is disagreeable to one. We might intrude upon one's sensibilities, and in the process of that, we offend them. And a lot of times, we offend people, and we don't even know that we have offended them. And when we do that, they carry it around in their heart because they think that we did it on purpose. But if you see that funny look that comes upon somebody's face when you make a comment, because nowadays people have become so sensitive that, you know, some people take a compliment as an insult. You might tell somebody, or a well-dressed lady, a well-dressed man. Oh, I like that dress. I like that color. Oh, you have a beautiful hair color. And then all of a sudden, guess what? That's sexual harassment. So they take the purity of your intentions, and they turn it around and rend you. That's what God's word said. They say, hey, you know, sometimes when you cast your pearls before swine, they will trod them under the foot of men. So we have to be careful. But then those little funny looks come up on their face, and because, see, your alarm will tell you that didn't sit right with so-and-so. Let me go and explain myself to them. Let me go and tell them that I meant no harm. Let me go and excuse myself before this situation escalates into a wildfire. And we each got that ability to do so, to go to our brother, to reconcile with him, to make amends with him, not allow jealousy to overtake them. And see, there are so many Christians right now, we are so jealous of what the world has. But my father's words say, hey, the cattle on a thousand hills, and all them that dwell in, they belong to me.
That's right.
All of these riches that other people have, hey, just guess what? They're just there temporarily. But I'm not supposed to. If you go to Exodus, it says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, his wife, his car, his daughter. I'm just adding a few on. His maidservant, his manservant, his ox, his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. Because what God has for me is for me. I'm not supposed to covet that intelligence. I could say, Lord, could you bless me so that I'm able to do that. But whatever he gave that individual, he gave it to them. It says, not counting their trespasses against them. I'm in verse number 19. Entrusting to us the message. See, as I said every time before the Lord, allow me to bring forth his word. I said, it is an awesome responsibility. And I thank the Lord for entrusting in me that I'm going to say the right things, that I'm going to inspire the right people to at least consider God, to reconcile with God. Because, see, we are and have been estranged from him, and now is the time to reconcile. Now is the time to, because how could I have a fellowship with God when I can't stand my brother's guts? His word says, how could you love me who you never seen, and hate your brother who you see dead? You a lie, and the truth will not abide within thee. Now, let's talk about that. We say we love God. We never, never seen him. But then my contrary brother, because he got on my nerves, I done barred him from my house. So reconcile. Ask the Lord to give you the understanding, or if not the understanding, the patience to wait it out. Be civil one towards the other. Don't let these things get up under your skin. Because, see, whether we know it or not, Satan, he's like a great puppet master, and he's using a lot of people as the tools of his pleasure. He loves it when he sees Christians arguing with one another and disagreeing with one another and stop speaking to one another and withdrawing from one another. That's one of his favorite things, because he'll plant that seed, and then he say, Brother Brown, did you hear what that joker said? Man, I wouldn't even take that stuff. Look how he got into the mind of the prodigal son's eldest brother. And if you notice, when a person is angry at you, they got a tendency of disowning you. Because when the brother came back looking for reconciliation, his brother told his father, he said, "Your son, not my brother, not my baby." You know, mm-hmm. All those years, he was willing to fight. "Hey, man, you better leave my baby brother alone. Shoot, you deal with my baby brother, you got to deal with me." But all of a sudden, "Your son." Same with parents sometimes. Sometimes, you know, we get so angry with our children. You know, the wife would tell the husband, "You better get your boy." Father tells him, "Hey, you better talk to your son. You better talk to your daughter." So we got a tendency of disowning people when we disagree with them. When reconciliation, and I'm not talking about Washington, D.C., I'm talking about reconciliation of the mind, reconciliation of the heart, reconciliation of the soul, reconciliation in the family. I'm talking about while you still can.
That's
if
right.
You're listening to me or you can hear my weak voice, then you know that you got a chance. You know that you still can. Because how many people of our family have passed away and we just seen them a few days ago, and we said, "I forgot to tell them that I love them." Still can. I know when I talked to Brother Brown on the phone, one of the last things, we check on each other, the family and everything, but one of the last things that I never failed to tell him, I said, "I love you, my brother." And he'd tell me likewise. And so we always end our conversation by saying, "I love you." So because there's so many people that we want, you know, I hate to say there's so many skeletons right now we want to dig up and say, "Oh, I love you." But that opportunity is gone. But the opportunity is here now for us to reconcile with each other, for us to forgive one another, for us to stop procrastinating. So stop procrastinating while you still can. Don't put off to tomorrow what you can do today. Work while it is yet day. Because the nighttime came, if you notice, I think it was last Sunday or somewhere there, you know, they turned the clock back and see, it looked like it would get dark at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, we in some dark days now. So the night is here. If you look around you, the night is here. And those that are out there trying to work the street, guess what? The streets is killing our young people. So, as I say, while the blood is running warm with you, while we got the activities of our limb, while we're clothed in our right mind, while you can fill in the blanks, because I know it's a bucket list that each and every last one of us have that we want to do as far as other people are concerned. I'm not talking about flying to, you know, going to the top of Kilimanjaro and skateboarding down. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. But I'm talking about to make amends, to reconcile, to hug that brother that wouldn't even come around or that I told I didn't want to see him again. So while you still can, while the opportunity is there, call a loved one, a neighbor, a friend, even a stranger. Can't call a stranger because I don't have a name, but tell a stranger, "I love you." Get that off your chest, because, see, we heavy burdened down with the weight of the world, and it's turned us into a selfish society. So while I can, while I still can, I'm going to tell each and every last one of you that I love you with the love of God, and that I'm praying for prosperity for all. I'm praying for healing. But why I still can, because I don't want to go to bed and not have that opportunity to let each and every viewer, each and every listener know that I love you. So I'm going to do that while I still can. While I still can, I'm going to turn it back over to Brother Brown. Brother Brown, it's on you.
Amen. Praise the Lord on tonight. What an awesome word on tonight, a powerful word that each one of us need to consider, and I hopefully have been able to receive this word, and then not only receive this word, but be a doer of this word, just like he said. And it's not, and God's word is true. In other words, the Lord is saying to each one of us, how can we say we love God whom we never seen, but then we can't speak to our brother or our sister, even our own family members. We can't tell them that we love them. We can't forgive them for something that he did 20 years ago. We still holding malice and grudges in our heart toward our sisters and our brothers, even some in the body of Christ. So that's not of God. We want to be more like Christ Jesus. So just like Jesus died on the cross and forgave us of all of our sins and our transgressions, that's what he expects of us to do toward one another. When we know that we have sinned against one another, or we have said something to hurt one another's feelings, or anything that we can that we have done to cause them to walk out of our lives, and they don't want to speak to us, don't want to pray for us, don't even want to see us, we need to check ourselves according to God's word. Examine yourself. That includes me as well. I'm not exempt. Deacon Marvin Cox is not exempt. No pastor, no prophetess, no prophet, no bishop, no one is exempt. No president, no king of another country, no one is exempt. We all need to examine ourselves according to God's word so that we can make sure that we are assets to the kingdom of God. We don't want to be a liability because we're holding grudges and we are holding unforgiveness in our hearts. That's not of God, because God is love. And when we show that we love one another, that's how we let the world know that we are of God and we are of Jesus Christ. Because so many people in the world that are not saved, the only Christ they're going to see, the only church they're going to see is us. So we have to be careful how we carry ourselves. We have to be careful how we allow malice and jealousy and envy and unforgiveness to linger in our hearts. So we want to be more like Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, but he became sin for you and me. That he died on the cross to give us a chance to be reconciled back to God, our Heavenly Father and our Creator. What a mighty God. Thank God for Jesus. And again, thank God that the blood of Jesus still works even today, and it will never lose its power. Aren't you grateful on tonight that the word of God lets us know that once we're saved in the name of Jesus, nothing and no one can ever pluck us out of his hands. What an awesome promise. See, God is a promise keeper. He don't go back on his word. I'm so grateful that God know who you are. He know who I am, and he know where we are. So we can't hide from God. And we have to remember that we are all going to give an account for every deed done in our bodies, the good and the bad. And we stand before God in the day of judgment and give an account. Don't you want to hear God say unto you, well done, thy good and faithful servant? You don't want to hear God say unto you, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. That's not what I want to hear God say unto me. And I'm sure if you're saved in Jesus' name, that's not what you want to hear. You want to hear God say unto you, well done, thy good servant. So on tonight, we want to thank Deacon Marvin Cox for sharing that word on tonight. And I pray that it has been received in love by every listener on tonight. We're going to get ready to close out in prayer as we always do. And as I always say, learn. If you don't know how to encourage one another, ask God to show you how to encourage one another in God's word. Not with your opinions and not with your feelings, but according to God's word. We're going to close out in prayer on tonight. And I'm asking all listeners, please pray with me once again. Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus we come once again, touching and agreeing that you are God alone and you're worthy of all our praise. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are who you say you are. You are our creator. You are the Most High God. You are the great I am. You are our everything. We thank you that you are the balm in Gilead. You heal the sin-sick soul. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, that you're still watching over your word to perform it in the lives of your people. We thank you for your grace and your mercy toward each one of us in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that still works, and we know that it will never lose its power. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, your Son, who is now sitting at your right hand making intercessions for the saints of God. So now, Lord, we pray that you will continue to bless this worldwide ministry and platform, that it will be everything that you have called for it to be, that you will get the glory through it. Heavenly Father, we pray and ask that you will continue to have mercy upon your people. We thank you for every listener that faithfully tunes in, even for the new listeners. Continue to bless them all and grant them the desires of their hearts. And, oh God, we pray and ask that you will move by your spirit on tomorrow and every door that's going to be open in Jesus' name, whether it's physically or over social media, where your word is going forth, that it will go forth with power on tomorrow, that souls will be saved, backsliders will come back to the fold, and that the body of Christ will be built up and strengthened and edified through your word. It's our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, once again on tonight, know that I love you. Know that God loves you even more. So until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.
Come on, KD.
This is an old song from North Carolina, Currituck, North Carolina. Maybe some of y'all know this, but I'm going to sing this song here. My, my, my. Pray for me. Yes, sir.
If you know you're standing in need of